We're on week two of our new series called Life Hurts Donuts. And that's just simply a pun, as we pointed out last week, that donut, like don't it, donut. And we're having fun with that. Hopefully you got to have a Hurts donut out there before service. And if there's any left after service, please make your way and get those. Last week, we were surprised that we ended up with only 1.5 donuts left. It's a weird number. But yeah, 1.5 donuts left, and it still disappeared. So it's zero. We ended up with zero. So you must have liked it. So we're glad to be able to provide that. But here we are. We're in a series called Life Hurts Donut. And we know that life hurts. There are things that happen in our life where sometimes life just hurts. And last week, we looked at specifically that lack of hope hurts. When there is no hope, we don't even know why we're living or what we're doing day to day, week to week. And we looked at the story of the lame man by the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus asked, do you want to get well? And he said, I can't because I don't have anyone. I have no friends. It's just hopeless. But here's what we did discover last week, that Jesus knows your story, that he wants to know if you want to be well. He extends mercy and he restores hope and he challenges us to change. And today, we're starting our second week, and we're calling it Condemnation Hurts. Condemnation Hurts. So if you would take out your Bibles and open them to John chapter 8, that's what we're going to be reading today. John chapter 8. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside that bulletin is a half sheet of paper. It's the message notes of today's message, where you can follow along with what we're doing. There's fill in the blanks, and the answers are going to be on the screen. John chapter 8, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5 out of the New Living Translation. Here we go. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? God, we give these next few moments to you. We pray that you would speak to both our hearts and our mind, that you would help us, that you would change us, that you would take care of hurt that we carry so much as part of our lives. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Have you ever been accused of something you didn't do? Anyone been accused of something you didn't do? Okay, that's a few of you. But what's even worse, have you ever been accused of something you did do? Where somebody's decided they're going to make it their mission that everyone finds out what you did wrong. Whew. They got the spotlight out. They're shining it everywhere. There's no place to hide. Oh, man. You see, in today's story, the religious leaders were creating a trap for Jesus. It even describes in the Bible that this was a trap that they designed to try to trick Jesus into saying something that would make everybody mad and that everybody would have the right to arrest him and to put him in jail. Whenever I see this part where it says it's a trap, all I can think of is Return of the Jedi, Star Wars, Admiral Akbar saying, it's a trap! Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a trap. There we go. It's a trap. See, they were exposing somebody's sin to set up a trap, and that's all they were thinking about. And yet, in the middle of this was a woman who was having everything laid out and exposed. What she was doing, her fate was going to be in Jesus' hands. And yet, through this one encounter with Jesus, a one-on-one encounter with Jesus, her life is going to be changed, and your life can be changed just as well. You see, condemnation hurts. Condemnation hurts when we are told, you have done something wrong. You have messed up. We're like, oh, yes. When I think about this, I think about my second oldest son, Regan. He's a sweet guy, and he doesn't talk a lot. And whenever you catch him, like, did you really just hurt your brother? He just gets this look on his face, and he just can't say anything. Like, okay, it's a yes or no question.
Did you just hurt your brother?
And he's just like, if I hold still enough, maybe I'll disappear. And he's thinking that maybe dad has the eyesight of a T-Rex. You know, you see the dinosaur in the movie, and they're like, hey, just hold still, because they can't see with whatever eyes they're using. And this is how my son is whenever he's caught. He's like, if I just hold still and don't breathe, maybe dad will go away. Oh, the spotlight. Condemnation hurts. And I can only begin to understand just how deep condemnation can hurt from an experience that I experienced quite a while ago at a job I was working at. Minding my own business, all of a sudden, there were some employees who came in, and they said, the boss just told us to take you and to take you outside the building right now. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, get your stuff right now. You're supposed to go outside the building. I'm like, what's going on? They said, please come with us right now. You're going outside the building. So I went outside the building. They took my key from me. They're like, you're going to be receiving a letter very shortly. And in the letter I received, it said, you are fired for what you just did. I'm like, what? What did I just do? And it goes on to spell out for sabotaging the company, for stealing stuff, and even possibly having an affair with another employee. And I'm like, what? What is going on? And I'm just trying to grasp it. What happened? Because I did not do any of those things, and yet no one had talked to me, but they just went. It's like the band hammer came down. Bam! Like, you're out, you're out, you're out. And yeah, we're going to be suing you. And the feelings that I felt in that time, it was probably the worst week of my life. Because I'm just trying to grasp at what is going on. What is this? Where did this even come from? See, I was being accused of something I hadn't done. And the people who were accepting those accusations just said, okay, well, here's the punishment. Here's what happens when someone does these things. And I am happy to say that everything worked out and the right story came to light. And it's amazing how truth can set you free. And everything was resolved, but that did not take away the pain I experienced for that week of everything I was put through. So I can begin to understand just a little bit of how condemnation feels, but I can't even begin to understand how this woman felt that day. The Bible describes that she was caught in the very act of adultery. She was taken and placed in front of a crowd. Her fate was about to be decided. You see, not only did this woman sin, she was singled out unjustly. She was publicly humiliated, and her life was threatened. You see, it's one thing that she sinned, and mind you, let me tell you, hey, every single person in this room right now, you all sin. We all sin. No one is perfect. Everyone messes up, including me. We all mess up. But she was being singled out for her sin. And I say unjustly because how many does it take to tango? And she was being accused, but where was the guy? And according to the Jewish law and custom for which she was being brought forth and presented to Jesus, said, what are you going to do? Moses' law says, we've got to stone her. If we were to read it further, it says, you got to stone both parties. So here she was being singled out unjustly, publicly humiliated. Her sin was being shared in front of the entire audience, everybody who was watching saying, look what she did! And those religious leaders who brought her forth didn't care how she felt. They were just trying to set a trap for Jesus. Humiliated. And in the end, her life being threatened. We're supposed to stone you. We're supposed to stone you for what you did. That's what the law says. But hey, this teacher of the law, what do you say? And Jesus' response is kind of interesting because it says that he just kind of knelt over and he started doodling in the sand. And the Bible does not describe what he was writing, what he was doing, if he was drawing a picture or if he was just playing with the sand because he liked how it felt on his fingers. We don't know. But there he was, just playing in the sand. Maybe he was just trying to listen to everything they said. Because I find it for myself. Whenever I'm trying to listen or understand, I doodle. And if you ever have me sitting in a class like Wednesday nights, I have a piece of paper when we do our Bible study. By the end of the night, there's all these doodles all over the paper, and it helps me listen to what we're doing. And maybe Jesus was just listening. That's what I'm going to believe. He was just doodling, so I'm going to listen to every single person here, what they're saying. The Bible describes that while he was doodling in the sand, they kept on egging him. Come on, teacher, give us an answer. Give us an answer. What should we do with her? She deserves this, right? Jesus was in a catch-22. You heard the phrase catch-22 before? Catch-22 is about a novel that was written in the 50s and published in 1961 by Joseph Heller. It was entitled Catch-22 and described from a very interesting point of view just the happenstance of World War II and a group of fighter pilots or bomber pilots. And here was their dilemma. They didn't want to fight, but they had to. And the rule in the army at the time was this. If you were insane, then you didn't have to fly. But if you step forward and say, I don't want to fly, then it proves that you're sane because you're worried about your safety. It's a catch-22. There's no win, a no-win situation. And that's why the phrase catch-22 has been coined ever since of anytime you have a situation where both choices are not good choices or I can do this or I can't do this and it doesn't make sense. And it's called a catch-22. And for Jesus, here's what his catch-22 was. You see, if he ordered that she should be stoned according to the law, they were going to report him to the Romans because the Roman laws, the Roman occupation had a rule that said the Jews could not do executions themselves. And anyone who tried to do an execution would be turned in and arrested by the Romans. Aha, gotcha. So that's what would happen if he said she should be stoned. But if he said that she shouldn't be stoned, then they could accuse him of, you're breaking Moses' law. So you really don't follow the law and God and what he's given us, so you can't be of God. And so, an interesting dilemma. Which way would he go? But here's the deal. What they didn't quite understand was that with Jesus as God, Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives. And here's what his response was. He finally, after they're egging him on, he's doodling in the sand. They say, come on, give us an answer. And so he stands up. He looks at all of them. He said, here's my answer. She should be stoned, but let the person without sin throw the first rock. Whoa. Interesting. Here he's come up with an answer that satisfies that, hey, the Moses law has to be followed, but then he also kind of puts this other twist on it that says, hey, if you don't have any sin yourself, then go ahead and condemn her to death. And the Bible describes he went back down to doodling. And we don't know what he was doodling. But I can imagine maybe, here's what I'm thinking. What if he was doodling and he was writing down the guy's names? He knew who they were. Or maybe he was describing, hey, here's what you've done. Here's what you've done. I don't know. Or maybe he was just drawing in the sand. But it's interesting that his words caught on, that each person in the crowd really stopped and began to think, am I going to be the one who throws the first rock? Do I have the privilege? Do I have the right to even throw a rock? And the Bible shares that the oldest in the group dropped their rocks first. Then the younger ones. Then the younger ones. Until before they knew it, there was no one there standing around this woman. You see, Jesus offers a balance of grace and truth. In his statement where he says, okay, yes, she should be punished, but let the person who is without sin be the one who does the punishment. He was offering a balance of grace and truth. And this is important to understand about our God. There is this constant friction between grace and truth. Truth is black and white and says, you should get what you deserve. Another hand is grace saying, hey, let's give you another chance. And if we were to stop and think about it, we'd say, yeah, over here, yes. Everything's black and white. We should always, if you do wrong, hey, there's consequences. Hey, there's punishment. And hey, it's clear as day what you should do. But then over here, it's like, hey, I'll give you another chance. Here's mercy. And when we're standing in the middle, we might find ourselves saying, hey, you know what? I like this idea of this black and white. The truth. The truth should stand. The truth. It's important. It's by the letter of the law. It's black and white. And we feel ourselves gravitating that way until we're placed in the position like the lady on the ground. You see, we all sin. We all mess up. We all do wrong things. And aren't you glad that God does not give us what we deserve? Did you catch that? Aren't you glad that God does not give you what you deserve? We all deserve punishment and to be apart from God. And it's only by his grace that he sent his son to pay the price for us, to give us a second chance, to say, hey, it's okay. Hey, I forgive you. It's by his grace that we're made whole. It's by his grace that we're made clean. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. Grace and truth. The lady was laying there on the ground and everyone had dropped their rocks. No one was there. And at this point, Jesus stood up again. He stopped doodling, playing on his Etch-a-Sketch in the sand. And he said to the woman, verse 10 and 11, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? And she answered, no, none of them. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Jesus chose not to condemn her. Not to condemn her. But he did challenge her to don't do it. Don't do what you did anymore. And this is important for us to grasp. Because even if you've been perfect so far today, let me just make a prediction. You're going to mess up soon. Probably today. You're going to do something that you wouldn't be proud of. You're going to do something that it's something you've been working on. You're going to do something that would make Jesus frown, right? We do stuff all the time. But the beauty is that we serve a God that when we ask for forgiveness, he gives forgiveness. Now, this privilege that we have the ability to ask for forgiveness, it's not to be taken lightly. It's not to say that, hey, I can do whatever I want because I can say, hey, God, forgive me. You got to forgive me. No. Shall we continue sinning so that grace keeps on coming more and more? No. Jesus' response to saying, hey, here's grace, here's forgiveness, is also combined with, hey, and try not to do it again. Try your hardest not to do it again. Learn from this. Change. We believe here at Focus Church that when we are growing, that we will see people change. When we see things changing about people, your attitudes, your actions, how you do and how you trust God and what you're doing and what you say and your language and your habits and those things. When those things are changing, then we know that you are growing. And that is what God wants from us. He wants you to grow in him. He doesn't expect you to be perfect from day one. He doesn't expect you to have it all figured out. He doesn't say, hey, you know what? You can come to me and I can forgive you of your sins. And then, hey, you have to have it all perfect. No. It's a continual journey that we are on from this point to the point that we meet him one day. Nobody arrives There's no destination point. It's a journey. We all have stuff. We're going to mess up. We're going to ask for forgiveness. We're going to move on. However, like last week we gave some bonus content. And we gave you three ways that the enemy is going to attack you. And we said, hey, find a blank space on your paper because this is how the enemy's tactics work. And now we're on to a fourth one today. Bonus content. You want to find a blank place on your paper for this. The enemy doesn't want you to let go of your condemnation. Doesn't want you to let go of your condemnation. You see, once you're forgiven, here is the challenge. Don't hold on to your condemnation. I'm going to ask Levi to come up here. And Levi, why don't you bring a chair with you? So he's just standing here, and he's got a chair. And let's say that this chair represents doing something wrong. And we know that Levi, although he's an amazing guy and we like him a lot, he's going to mess up today, and so he's going to sin. He's going to mess up, and so Levi, take the sin and hold it up. There you go. He's holding a chair. Now, since he is a strong guy, and because this could be kind of fun, should we have him hold it above his own, you know, hold it up higher there? There we go. Okay. He's got it. Okay. And if I talk long enough, his arms are going to get tired, aren't they? And this is going to be kind of fun. I hope somebody's pulling out their camera and taking a picture or something. Okay. But here he is. We have Levi here. He's messed up, and he's now taking on sin. He's taking on condemnation. But he is also a follower of Jesus. So what is Levi going to do? He's going to ask for forgiveness. And so Levi has just prayed. He said, God, I am sorry for what I just done. I'm going to do my best to not do it again. Please forgive me. And when we ask for forgiveness, what does God do? He is faithful. He will forgive us. And he no longer has that sin. So go ahead and put that back down. There it is. It's no longer with him. It's no longer something that he is carrying. However, the enemy likes to come up to you and say, hey, let me remind you of that thing you just did. There's no way that God would forgive you of that. You're not good enough. Ugh. Oh, I think you've done the unpardonable thing. Ugh. You are so guilty. And he just whispers these things in her ear that you're not good enough. And you don't deserve forgiveness. And there's no way, if he really understood what you did, that he would ever let you get away with it. And here's the sorry thing, is that we listen to these lies that are whispered into our ears saying you're not good enough and you should be condemned and you don't deserve forgiveness. And you know what we do? We pick the chair back up. And we try to do life still holding on to the chair. Is this your burden you're supposed to carry the rest of your life, is to keep on holding on to the guilt and the pain and the condemnation? Is this the way how God designed? Is this what we just read, that Jesus had the opportunity to punish a lady who did wrong? What did he choose? He said, no, I forgive you. I don't condemn you. Just don't do it again. But sadly, this is where a lot of us are. Oh, his arms are getting tired, aren't they? He's not going to be able to lift up that guitar, you know. We're still holding on to our chairs. That thing you did months ago, years ago. You prayed and you asked for forgiveness, but every now and then you feel like, how could God have forgiven me? I don't deserve to be forgiven. That is a tactic of the enemy to give up your forgiveness, to take on this weight. What does Levi need to do to not be carrying this chair anymore? He's got to do what Elsa sang about in Frozen. Let it go. Levi, let it go. Let's give Levi a hand as he goes off the stage here. It's the saddest thing to see people still holding on to guilt, holding on to condemnation, believing those lies are just little spear. I mean, you just imagine the enemy whispering in your ear, you're not good enough. You're unforgivable. You did too big of a sin. You could never become what God's called you to be because of what you've done. Your past is too great. Do you know what? We serve a God who's bigger than your past. A God who balances truth and grace. A God who doesn't just take the hammer and say, oh, you did wrong, bam! He says, no, here's another chance. Don't do it again. Aren't you glad for grace? Aren't you glad for grace? Because we don't deserve the grace that we get. We don't deserve the grace that we get. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, it says this. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. We will never be perfect. We will mess up. We will sin. Unfortunately, when some of us sin, all our dirty laundry is going to be on a spotlight for everyone to see. It's not always going to be quiet. It might be like this lady who had her sin exposed to the crowd. But Jesus forgives. We have a choice. Do we accept his forgiveness? And do we put down the condemnation? Do we stop believing the lies of the enemy that once it's done, it's done? Do you think Jesus, after the situation happened, was thinking, oh, well, I hope she really learns from this. I hope she understands the grace I just gave her. I hope she doesn't mess up again. Do you think that's what he was doing? If we were actually wondering what he's doing, if we read just a little bit further in chapter 8 of John, verse 36, he's going on to describe who he is and what he does. And he says, if the Son has set you free, then you're really free. If he has forgiven you, then you are forgiven. That's it. So any reminder about it is not from him. Any temptation to pick it back up and to try to hold on to it, it's not from him. And yet, life hurts. Condemnation hurts. We carry the baggage. We carry the weight. And today is the day that you can let go. Not carry it anymore. I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes, because I want to ask you a few questions. And you see, you might be one of two people today. You might be like the lady who was being condemned, that you have done something wrong and you need to ask for forgiveness. And we understand that when we ask for forgiveness, Jesus forgives us, and that's that. But you might also be someone today in the story who can identify with Levi holding the chair. And there's something from your past that for some reason, you keep picking it back up and it just defeats you and it keeps you from where God wants you to be and what God has planned for you. And maybe today you needed the illustration of the holding of the chair to understand that you just got to let it go, because Jesus is not the one forcing you to carry that. He forgave you. And when he sets you free, you are truly free. If you're sitting here today and you would say, Pastor Ryan, I want you to pray for me. I need to let go of condemnation. Can you just slip up your hand so I can pray for you today? And if you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor Ryan, I've done something I haven't asked Jesus for forgiveness for. I need Jesus' forgiveness. I need to feel that forgiveness. Just slip up your hand. Let me know. I want to pray for you. Yeah. So God, we know that life hurts and condemnation hurts. And we recognize this as a tactic of the enemy, that we understand how this whole thing is that we're not going to be perfect, that we're going to mess up. But we can ask for your forgiveness. So God, there are people in this room here today who are calling out to you and they're saying, God, please forgive me. And your word says that when we ask for forgiveness, that you give it. Help those today who are asking for your forgiveness to be set free. And God, there are people who today, all across this room, who raised their hand, who said, I'm like that one still holding that chair, holding on to that condemnation. God, I understand it's maybe easy to say to let go, but the action of doing it is way harder. But I think it starts, God, with this understanding that it's not from you. It's not something you're putting on, not a burden that you are forcing us to carry, but rather a ploy of the enemy to defeat us and to keep us from all that you desire for us to be. So if that's you today, talk to God. Say, God, I want to let it go. Help me to let go of condemnation. Help me to let go of the guilt. Help me to see myself as you see me. Help me to feel your forgiveness. And just as God answers the prayer for forgiveness, he answers the prayer to help you let go. So God, I'm excited that there would be people here today who experience life anew. Life without a heavy burden, with a heavy weight of condemnation. God, I know that you have heard their prayers, and I pray, Lord, that they feel the lightness of giving that up, because it's not from you. Help us, God, when it comes to the hurt of condemnation. In Jesus' name.